All right. If you have your Bibles, please let's continue from where we stopped. We've been reading from the book of Genesis chapter 24. I want to continue precisely from that point. The book of Genesis chapter 24. Because we have read this several times, I am going to be quick in reading it this time around. I'll just jump here and there. I'll just slow down on the verses that are relevant to what we want to see today. We have been talking about the matter of lessons from the life of Isaac. And where we have, first of all, we spent time talking about the promise that what God is doing in our lives is to fulfill his promise. Our lives must be wrapped around the knowledge of the promises of God. And then we allow him to do it. And then after that, we now went into the matter of the land of promise. I said that manifestation of divine promises, all right, have conditionalities, or the manifestation has conditionalities attached to it. Sometimes Christians speak as if once God has promised, it's the promise of God. No, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. For that reason, he was not a blessing to his own. You must understand, it is possible to limit the Holy One of Israel. You must get that point. Paul said that seeing that we have these promises, let us purge ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That tells you that the defilement of flesh and spirit does not allow the promises of God to be fulfilled. It's common sense. Do you get the point? Defilement of flesh and spirit will not allow the promises of God to be fulfilled. The man of God, whose name were not given, came to Eli and said that, did I not promise your father's house that you will stand before me as priest forever? He said, but now, far be it from me, for whoever honors me, I will honor. That is, the fulfillment of that promise was tied to the honor of God. You don't learn how to honor God, it will not be fulfilled. That's why we'll talk about the full following of God. Christians, I don't know whether I have to call them Christians, but many people who go to church these days, that's a better definition. Are you getting my point? Yes, they think you could just go there and just go and collect promises. Let's be careful that we do not put our faith in formulas, our faith in things. No, we must understand that we must have a relationship with God. That's why I talked about the full following of God. That it's not just about promises. There are precepts. There are commandments. You understand? We said there are what? Testimonies. And there are ordinances. All of them put together are the things that make for the full following of God. You don't follow him fully. You don't experience the fulfillment of those promises. Listen, the promises of God, they have conditions attached to them. They have. There are enough scriptures. Sometimes Christians preach, all right? Those of us want to make it look like God, God does not ever get angry. If you like, slap him, spit on him. He so loves you, he'll just be hugging you and wiping away the spit. Let me tell you one more thing. He said it is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Let's not treat him as if, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anything you like, you do, it is fine. I was listening to the Kings the other day, and I was listening to the words that God came and gave to Solomon. He said to him clearly, let me summarize, put my own words now. Your father has been a good man, good to me, obeying my word, walking with me. For that reason, I have blessed his lineage. I've established his kingdom. Now you are taking over that blessing. If you want that blessing to stay with you, you will follow the example of your father. You obey my word. You will walk with me. You make sure you don't do anything that annoys me. Because if you do, oh boy. This house that everybody is shouting, great, 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 talking about the temple. I will level it, you won't believe it. The house become a curse. That was what he said to Solomon. I hope you're following me. And that's what we've been looking at. The promises of God, they have conditions. It is not as if, I said that before, talking about grace, it is not as if we pay so as to deserve them. No. The fulfillment is, in summary, we allow him. We remove ourselves from being obstacles to the fulfillment of his word. That is what we do. That is the summary of it. We ensure that we are not the one causing the trouble. Because our actions or sometimes our inactions can actually cause these promises not to be fulfilled. I hope you are getting my point. I said we should open somewhere. Genesis chapter 24. I said I'll read it again, then we'll jump to the one I want to say today. So we're talking about this matter of the land of promise. Let's just read the portion of the scriptures that we are using. He said, now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord. Verse 4, that you will go to my country and to my relatives. And from there, he said, take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there for any reason. Don't try it, like we say. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. You see, this old man was emphatic. Make sure you do not take my son back there. Let no negotiation be entered into if one of the conditions is that my son will go back there. Why? That's what we've been talking about. We know the rest of the story from there. Then quickly again, go down to the book of Genesis chapter 26. We're looking at the life of Isaac. I jumped the other ones because we'll still get back there in a moment. You will see other encounters in the life of Isaac, how he had his children and all of that. But this is what I want to say now, just a bit off the main point, but just for those who are Bible scholars who want to know this, you will notice that all the accounts in that Genesis is not all chronological. What I mean is that sometimes you say some things, put some points here, and then go back. Like 26 obviously happened before 25. If you look at it in context, you see it. So yeah, he was saying some things about how some things happened in the life of Isaac. Then he now went back to tell other stories. So that's that story we want to look at now, that chapter 26. Now, from verse 1, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands. That is, this land is part of the promise I gave to your father Abraham, and you are inheriting that promise. And by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Now, verse 6. So Isaac lived in Gerar. All right? Now, please, I'm going to jump. There's an account about his relationship with his wife and the people looking at him, all right, or looking at them. So I'm going to jump that. It's not really in line with what I want to teach this evening. Let me just jump to where it's more relevant to us. So Isaac lived, he said, in verse 6, in Gerar. Now, jump to verse 12. Now, Isaac sowed in that land which the Lord showed him, and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich, and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wealth which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. And then Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are too powerful for us. And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Let me just stop here. All right? Now, I've read these two portions just to continue what we have been saying about the land of promise. We have seen the issue of the fulfillment of God's promises. Now we are looking at the matter of the land of promise. These are the points we have made. Let me just revise a few of them just to be able to connect what I'm saying again today. And that's that those promises, even though they are yours, I spoke extensively last time about that, they will be manifested while you are in the land of promise. You cannot depart from your land of promise and then expect the word to be fulfilled while you are back in the land of your fathers, in all of the Chaldeans, or you have moved into the land of Egypt. Please follow that. Because you will see what God was saying to Isaac here is that don't go to that land of what? Egypt. The simple thing is that if you go there, this promise does not work in Egypt. If you go there, you will not be able to experience this blessing. I know your father went into Egypt at the time, and I showed him mercy. But go and check your life now. I'm putting many words together. Go and check your life. All the problems you are going to have in this life is tied to your father's visit to Egypt. Where did he bring Hagar from? Are you getting my point? Now, that's what he was saying to him, in effect. Don't repeat it. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in this land. Now, my emphasis is on that land. All right? I'll get back to that issue of Isaac and that land this time around again. Now, what we're saying is that what is that land? That for us, the land can be physically, it can be a physical geography. It can be, listen, I have sent you to Enugu to be, go and be blessed. If you run to with your friends, you say, let me run to Egypt. Let me run to Lagos. Let me run to Abuja. Those are the places Nigerians run to for money, you know, within the country. Or if you want to go internationally, let me run to UK. Let me run to the US. Let me go down to Australia, because that is where I will get the blessing. Listen, if God, now please, this is very important. If the Lord had tied, and he does, that's what I want to say. I've heard people preach as if he doesn't. It is not true. Your life is not an accident. You were born for a purpose. Are you getting my point? There is a particular place that people are waiting for you to come to and manifest there. That's a matter of fact. That is a matter of fact. Some of the people that you are looking at, these guys, ever since he moved to Lagos, his life has not been the same again. You now want to join him. He was there. You don't realize it. His blessing was waiting for him there. He had to go there. I'm not saying you can never shift from one place. Don't forget, God commanded Elijah concerning where he will go in the time of famine. Listen, I've been saying this again and again. The advantage you have as a Christian is that you can pray and forget what people who study say that God is too big to be interested in every mundane thing of your life. It's a lie. He's interested in every little detail of your life. Listen to me. He decides which street you live on inside this town. And that's not a joke. I don't mean that as a joke. I said last time, let's not focus, you know, what this is a mistake I said Christians often make. We want to say, okay, let me pray until God tells me specifically where to go. He might not. What he's more interested is that your heart is situated in his will. What do I mean by that? That you don't allow human ideas to tell you how to do things. Let me give an example of this. Where do I live? Once I was talking with my one of my seniors, all right? How's your neighbor? He said he has moved from where he was living. Why did he move? He said he's not a big man. Now, listen to what I'm trying to say. And now, please, try not to judge the details of what I want to say, all right? But look at the principles I'm trying to bring up, because I don't want to start arguing that that area is better than this area. The issue, no, you have to be careful not to be derailed by the illustrations, all right? And, you know, center on the point. And I said, why did he move? This place is very nice. I know that he's not a big man. He has to move to where people like him are. So he has left that part of Lagos, I think Surulere, area, Mushi area. Decent area, actually. I mean, it's a place I know. He has to move to VI. Why is he moving to VI? You know, he's now... Now, that was a picture that was painted for me. I didn't talk to the person directly, so I don't know whether they were telling the truth or not. Now, if you move because here, he has nowhere to park your cars. There's nothing wrong with that. Are you getting my point? But this is what they call worldliness. My friends must not come and see me living here. I don't know whether I get my point. So I have to now move to a place where when people come, they will know I'm a big man. Listen to me, you are worldly. That is what worldliness is. No matter how spiritual you look in your dress, you are very worldly. I hope you are getting my point. There's a joke I do, you know, I crack once in a while. It really happened, of course. Once, I was with my auntie. And I said that she was eating. I said, this is not the kind of plate my mates are using to eat. I got up and walked away. I said, see, one person don't chop belly food. I was very angry that day. That when you have eaten and you are full, you just open your mouth and be talking nonsense. That this is not the kind of plate your mates are using to eat. And if you see the kind of plate where they talk, fine plate like this, oh, say, my mate, who's your mate? Who's coming to see you? I eat from plastic. It doesn't matter. All right? Now, let me not dwell on that. But these are the reasons people walk away from the will of God. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That it is not a matter of, has God spoken to you? You know, the number one way by which God tells you what to do in life is to teach you what is right and what is wrong. And why we talk like this all the time is for Christians to have an understanding of what is right to do. Once you walk, that's what the Bible calls righteous walking. To walk according to the revealed word of God. You don't walk according to how you feel or what the word is trying to dictate to you. You know, I've heard many people talk when they say they are relocating. The thing annoys me. It is not the movement. People, look, listen, I was not born in Enugu. Are you getting my point? No. Was I born here? No. I moved here. So you can move. I'm not saying that. But when you start, it's those, what the Bible calls spirit. Is that thing behind the decisions you are making? Those are the things that really matter in Christianity. What is pushing you? That is what pushes you out of the will of God or into the will of God. I concluded last time by saying that if you remove all these distractions, listen, locating your own land of promise is easy. It is. Listen, in fact, Oswald Chambers said that only the sinner understands what the will of God is. That the righteous child of God does not even know. That he just walks in it naturally. That is, you won't know what breathing is except you have had a problem with breathing. Most of you, until you hear somebody die from a heart attack or your heart misbehaves, you don't know you have a heart. Think about it now. In fact, doctors, look, listen. The teaching is that if you feel your heart beating, you are sick. We call it palpitation. Or not necessarily sick, but something out of order. Maybe you just ran, but you didn't run. Nobody scared you. You're not frightened. Every time you're feeling your heart beating, they say there's a problem. You are not supposed to feel your heart beat. Because it beats all the time. It's normal. And Oswald Chambers said, if you are walking with God normally, that is how the will of God is. You don't even feel it. You just walk in it. You just wake up in the morning, you breathe, will of God. You sleep, will of God. You eat, will of God. You go out, will of God. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. The major problem is that the world distracts us from the land of promise. The world does. And how do they do? You are not making it as fast as those imaginary mates. That's how they do it. People don't have a sense of purpose again in anything. Mammon, covetousness. Those are, listen, you know, in quotes, now please, God doesn't fear anything. Are you getting my point? If you understand that, say amen. Now, God does not fear anything. Do you understand that? He does not. All right? But I just like to explain, use that word to just bring out the point. One thing that God fears, no, concerning, in quotes now, please, you get the point. He does not fear. But just the way we say, that when God says, this is my number one contender for the heart of men, it's mammon and covetousness, money. Not devil, the devil, lie. You know, devil has to talk. And persuade them, come, greet, beg, explain. Has God really said? Money doesn't say, has God really said? Money says, hey. People will just look. Now, that's the point. So, you see, once we can remove those things, listen, walking in the will of God, locating your land of promise is easy. Listen, God gave you a gift. He gave you a passion. He gave you, sometimes he commits, you know, there are different ways by which God leads into something. One, he can give you a gift. He can do that. Like I gave you as an example, why did I start preaching? You know, God calls people different ways. I know I don't sound very spiritual when I talk like this, but I've been able to help people because I find that most human beings are not that spiritual, so they are confused. Yes, true. So a lot of people trying to make them appear spiritual, make them behave spiritual, lead them into confusion. So God sent me and removed all those spiritualities out of my life so that I can connect with people that are not spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, it's true. I know. We went through these things. That's why I like to talk boldly and openly. I found out a lot of things you are hiding inside. Many people are going through it. They just can't talk because they will look as if they are not spiritual. That's why God raised people like me up before they come. What? Sister Angie, you are looking nice this morning. This is your hat. And when I woke up, as I began to worship, the Lord said I should wear this hat. And those of us that chose a tie without God talking, we now feel so unspiritual. People want to marry. Say, what did God say to you about the person you want to marry? No, I like him. What did God say to me? That's not good enough for you. The fellow is a believer. He loves God. She loves God. Loves the word of God. And I like her. That is enough. If God doesn't like it, it's when he should talk. If he likes it, he can continue keeping quiet. We will believe we are walking in his will. Oswald Chambers said, listen, that if you're walking with God normally, that, listen, I'm telling you, I'm not saying what I said. Oswald Chambers said that what God owes you, I'm using many words now, is to stop you. That is why Paul never prayed to preach to any place that people are gathered. He never prayed. He didn't say, Lord, should I share the word with them? Huh? Necessity is laid upon me. That's what he said. Everywhere I go, I must preach. I must preach. When God did not want him to preach, he will hinder him. When God wouldn't want him to preach, he will hinder him. Then one day he would dream, come over to Macedonia and help us. I like when the one man came to preach in Enugu some time ago. He said, if God has to talk to you before you marry, then get ready. There's trouble ahead. That is, he's giving you an assurance so that you don't walk away. Now, when I heard that, I wasn't there when he said it, but somebody quoted him for me. I said, that is truth. But I said, that's one. Then secondly, God has to talk to you sometimes when you have to go against many things that are strong around you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, assuming that those days when, it's even those days, even till now, people still do things like that. Now, imagine a situation in which maybe we're all white people here. You know, those that were used to discriminate seriously against black people. All right, as an example. And then you're a white man or a white woman, and God wants to marry somebody who's black. That one, he understands. He will talk. Because your friend is not going to counsel you to agree. Your pastor will not say it. You will have nobody to say. Even you cannot say it. Even you don't believe. But when your spirit begins to move in that direction, that will now say, this is of me. No, imagine now you were engaged. Then you come one day, they've been telling you, you're engaged, no touching, no touching. Then the girl is pregnant. Uh-uh. Every eye is looking at you first. Brother Joseph. And now you know it's not you. So what is the common sense thing to do? I don't marry again. So Joseph said, okay, Sister Mary, thank you very much. This is your story. Tell it to the Marines, like they say. Do I look like a fool to you? I'm even ready to forgive you. You're not telling me that, no, you don't know what happened. You were just walking on the road. Anointing just came upon you. You're pregnant. Very funny. You know that kind of thing. That was why God had to wake up at night, send an angel while Bobo was sleeping and say to him, this doesn't make sense. I agree. But this one is really of God. She's not lying to you, now Holy Spirit. You don't blame Joseph. If Joseph did not hear that voice and he still married her, he's a fool. Yes. I mean, you come to me. Say, Pastor, you see? Thank God. What now vexes me most is that she says it's the Holy Spirit. I would tell you, don't mind all these super spiritual people. Even after the Bible story, the Holy Spirit has to pay another visit to. Are you getting my point? Now, those are the situations that God just talks. But for you to do what is right, and there are things that he has taught you. Let me give you an example. You now say that, Pastor, what you said, I have understood. Now, my whole community doesn't like people from the other community, so I need God to speak. He said, lie, lie. Banky has been speaking about it for a very long time. You get what I'm saying? That the girl is from the other community. God said, no, I won't talk again. What more do you want me to say? Go and click on this message. You'll see walking in the will of God. Understanding the divine purpose. All those messages. Banky has preached it. Okay, you don't like Banky. You don't like his look. You don't like the way he talks. Good. Let me give you somebody else. Listen to Zakunen. You don't like that one? Let me give you Pastor Poch. Listen to it. If by the time you finish giving 20 ministers, if you see, say you should talk, he will enjoy you. I'm not joking, no. I say something is jokingly. I will let you know when I'm joking and when I'm not joking. God will enjoy somebody. That's what happened to Balaam. Don't go. Let me just go and pray again to be sure he doesn't want me to go. He said, go now. And an angel waited on the way, ready to injure somebody. So I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. So God doesn't have to just wake up and start talking anyhow for you to do what is right and what is normal. Now, I digress all of that, but I remember the very point in which I took that tangent. I'm going back to that point. So having said that, so how did I get into preaching? And I told you I'm not spiritual. That's where I began from. The only reason I started preaching, you want to hear it? It's a very spiritual reason. I found out that I know how to preach. Nothing more than that. Go and chew on that. Why did you start preaching? It's simple. I found out that I know how to preach. God didn't wake you up one morning and begin to speak to you. No. You started preaching. Did you need me? Listen to this for a moment. Did you need me to explain to you how I entered into ministry before you came here? Before you bought my book? Before you collected a tract, digested it, and shared with your neighbors? You didn't need it. So what gave you the impression I needed it to do that? I also got up. I found the thing was flowing out of my spirit. It's a long story. I went into university, that is the school I went to. God arranged for me to come to the University of Benin. Looking back now, I could almost feel the angel leading me from one fellowship to the other. I won't give you the details. But I hit the fellowship that, as of today, I am the president of the alumni fellowship. I went in there, and before then, I'd been to a number of places. Some of the fellowships now, they are big churches, you know now. Some of them, I left because, now you can say Holy Spirit, but me at that time, it was common sense. I said, these people are too indisciplined. All right? I just said, these people, they don't look disciplined at all. So I walked away from them. I went to a fellowship that I felt was good. That was an angel. They announced that you must have a prayer partner and must belong to an activity group. And since I wasn't planning to pray with anybody or join any group, I left again. And I saw my friends, where are you going to fellowship? Which one? They told me, let's go now. That's how I followed them. When I reached there, nobody asked me. They were disciplined people. Nobody asked me to join prayer group or have a prayer partner or join activity group. I said, praise God. So we're coming for fellowship and we're going, hearing the word of God. And then one day they said, you must have a prayer partner. And belong to an activity group. It was too late to run that time. I was already in. So we had to meet and pray like twice a week or something. You had to have a prayer partner. Now, but that's not the gist. The gist was that I entered that fellowship. And then I became involved. I had friends there. I just got into the activity. Along the line, I was appointed as one of the leaders. Then, you know, I had this brother at that time. We used to call him Pastor E. If you are going to see him, you must come and share something. What did you read this morning? What did you learn? What has the Holy Spirit taught you recently? You must share what. So, if you are going to visit Pastor E, you must first study the Bible first. Cram a few scriptures. Go and knock on his door. Good afternoon, sir. What did the Holy Spirit share? It's Matthew chapter 5. We prepared the message before coming. Anyway, let's make a long story short. As I was going in there, the thing was just rising inside me. I at the point in time, I was in a room where all they did was study the word of God. In hall 3, D13. We used to call it LCC Secretariat. All they did in that place was study the word of God. Listen, look, my roommates were the president of the fellowship, or general coordinator, the secretary, the chief of the prayer warriors, the head of the Bible study group. You understand? Those are my roommates. No, those are my roommates. The president of the fellowship was there. The secretary of the fellowship was there. Really. Pastor, we call him Power. That brother, we used to call him Power Utu. I don't know if you remember the wrestler, Power Uti. You are too young.
You remember Power Uti? So his name was Uto. So we changed it to Power Uto because of the way he used to pray. When he's praying like this, the building will almost be vibrating. So we said, Power Uto. He was my roommate. This is my prayer warrior and my prayer partner became my roommate. And he was the head of the Bible study group. That was the room I was in. That was the room where when you come, if you fall like this, you fall on Kenny Hagin, you get up, EW can hit you in the face. No, I'm serious. That is when I've told the story, when they want to fight in that room, you know, they're young men. They used to have a quarrel once in a while. Not the roommate, there's one brother who will come. Quarrel. And what's the quarrel? It's not who took my money, who didn't take my money. No. That is not what Matthew meant. Matthew could not have said it like that. Luke was the one that said that thing. That is argument. You'll be looking at them like this. No. Paul could not. No, listen. When Peter was speaking, no. Come on, what do you know about Peter? Where was he? I'm serious. You'll be looking at them like this. I still remember one day. One of them said, you need faith to get healed when they pray for you. And I was saying, no, you don't need faith. If I have faith, you don't need faith. No, you need. Okay, if you fall sick now, I will lay my hands on you and you won't get well. The guy said, how can I get well when you don't believe? I still remember that day. The rest of us would be sitting down there laughing away. Now, that was the kind of thing we had. Now, a few Saturdays in the morning, you will get to say, it's room fellowship time. Now, listen, we had normal fellowship. We all belong to activity group. We all have prayer partner. Then when we enter the room, they say, today is room fellowship. You wake up in the morning. I learned how to sing by force. I'm not remembering something. Sitting down there, I was learning plenty. I told the story before once. I went out and EW Kenyon material was just coming into our midst that time. So we had the small ones, all the small ones, blood covenant, two kinds of faith, two kinds of righteousness. But those heavy ones, we didn't have them. Things like the father and his family, you understand? From the cross to the throne, things like that. So one day, I went out, they were doing a book fair. This man, his name is, he was my senior in College of Medicine. He's a pastor, well, last I knew, he was a pastor in Lagos. So during the book fair, I saw him holding this book, The Father and His Family, EW Kenyon. This book is actually around. So I go meet him. Excuse me, sir. Can I have a look at that book? So instead of going through the books that were on the bookstand, I held this one and I was reading it. Reading. Now, this is the gist. When I wanted to leave, I got this book. In the evening, I go back to my hostel. I saw him downstairs washing clothes. Ah, okay. I said, good afternoon, sir. You can't be reading while you're washing clothes, right? Where did you keep that book? So he pulled it out from maybe under one of the clothes and handed it to me. He said, you really like this book? I said, yes. He said, okay, I give it for 2 days. Oh, I rejoice at thy word. Like him that finds grace for. See rejoicing. Again, that's not the gist though. The real gist was that weeks later or months later, when I was talking to Pastor E, I said, this book I read you. He said, I read it. I said, which one did you read? He said, that's your copy. I said, that's my one. I had it only for 2 days. I didn't give you. He said, no, now. That one day, he came from class to the hostel. And he saw me sleeping. And the book was beside me on the bed, or on the table beside the bed. And he said, yeah, see this book. He read it from 11 to 5 a.m. A man who came from class to come and sleep. Those were the people I hung out with. And then, of course, all this time, we're growing. Are you getting my point? One of those days, I became a member of the, what we call core group, the executive of the fellowship. And then, one day, just said, Banky, you will pray on so date. No problem. We'll prepare, pray. Then I began to preach. Then one day, I remember the first time I preached was Mommy Jane's birthday. She just came and said, Banky, please, my birthday, you. Because that's how we used to do birthday that time. I don't know about now. When we were in school, when Christians gathered, my fellowship was a very good middle-of-the-line fellowship. We're not crazy like some people, but we were not definitely very conservative. We were not. We are a mixture of all kinds of people. So if we organize birthday, we will dance, we will rock better gospel music, and you must preach. In fact, party never starts until we first do praise worship. After you don't praise worship, then you now say, who is the minister for the day? That fellow will now preach powerfully. Then you call the celebrant out. Then lay hands on whoever's birthday it is. All of you will pray. before party commences. I hope Christians are still doing that till today. I hope. That's how we used to do it. So one of those birthdays, he just said, that was my first time of preaching in public, apart from room-to-room evangelism. He said, I will be the one to preach. And I still remember till today what I preached. And this is the interesting part. That's how I knew I was called to preach that message. Then this gift, so you can get, was making waves. I stood up that day. I said, the gospel doesn't say so. That the Bible says clearly, the key to receiving is asking. I remember. That, in case you want to know, was 1989. Not yesterday. Man, the anointing flowed that day powerfully. I remember. That was the beginning. What am I going to say? How did I start preaching? I just knew I was supposed to preach. I don't know how I knew it. I just knew I was supposed to preach. I became the president of the fellowship. There was a period in which there was an issue. So that a lot of times, we would plan that program just before the fellowship. And we used to have long programs. But that particular semester, we didn't have much of it. So a lot of times, I had to preach. Not for any other reason than the fact that there was no other option. But I remember one of our brothers was getting married. That was how we used to do things. It was the day before. Whether they call it Bachelor's Eve or Spinster's Night, I don't know. But what was it? Who we preach again was what they were looking for. I traveled down for the wedding. I was getting that time. And they just came and said, actually it was Pastor E also that was getting married in Benin. So we came down for the wedding. They said, who will preach? So they come and say, the brother coordinated, said, Banky, you'll be do the preaching. The program was starting, you know, in a short while. If I were getting ready. And I said, I will do the preaching. I said, how can I preach? Man, I came here to his wedding now. Come on, guys. No, you can't do this to me. So I said, no. So the fellow left. Then I started. Now, you look back and you know it must have been the Holy Spirit. He said, look around. If you say no, who can say yes here? The only person who could say yes was the one who was getting married. He was the only senior guy there who could preach at short notice. And then I had to agree. So I abandoned my people and I went to prepare to preach for about 5-10 minutes. I got back into preach. I still remember what I preached that day. He said, the remnant of the house of Judah shall first take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. Do you know for the next semester, that was what everybody in that fellowship was talking about? Why would I do something else? Think about it for a moment. Last convention, it was the last convention or last year's one, my vice president, who is also a preacher. So I said, you are the one preaching this evening. I hope you know. I said, Banky, I said, yes. Seasoned minister, then disappeared. We're doing everything, announcements, praise, worship, prayer. I said, where is the preacher? They can't find her. Where is she? So finally, after we had almost given up, I said, okay, I thought she had disappeared totally. She now showed up. So she preached a very good word at the end of the day. I said, where did you run to? You wanted me to panic. She made a statement, which is why I'm talking about it. He said, you think everybody's like you, that can preach at any notice. You get my point? He said, you think everybody's like you? They give you 5 minutes, you go there and go and preach. He said, sorry, I need more notice. Since you gave me a very short notice, I had to use every bit of time I had. I'm asking you a question. Why would I do anything else? What happens is that people will now start telling you, this thing doesn't make money. It doesn't make money. It doesn't make money. I remember that, you know, I've given this one day. My mother asked me, I said, how about your private practice? I said, I've shut it down. Why? I said, I don't have time. It inconveniences me a bit, and my ministry takes a lot of time. So I focus on my ministry work. So I don't need, I still have to do my academic work, but my ministry work takes a lot of time. So I had to shut all those extras down. She now made a statement and said that, but ministry is not paying you money. And I said, what shall we do then? I said, shall we abandon the reason why God gave us life? Because it doesn't pay money? And that takes me to the next point I actually wanted to make today. Sometimes in the promised land, there will be famine. That's what I wanted to talk about today. In that promised land, sometimes there is famine. In the land of promise, I prefer to use that word, in the land of promise, because this is where the promise will be fulfilled. Sometimes there is famine. Sometimes things are not moving as they should. So Isaac went, was on his way to Egypt. Let him just go and discuss with some people he had known. So he went to Gerar to talk to the people there. And God said, listen, I want you to stay here. And if he said, this is part of the land that I promised to your father. I was in the commentary about that. The Bible says Isaac sowed in that land. And in that same year, he reaped a hundredfold. He said, listen, that in that commentary I was reading, that hundredfold in fertile periods was unusual. That the best they used to get when things were too good was 85-fold. That normal was 25 to 30-fold. That for Isaac to reap a 100-fold in that same year was a miracle.